Today's shiur will be beginning Daf Kuf Zayin, Omed Aleph, in Maseches Bava Basra. Second line from the top. As we look at the daf, we recommend printing out the daf before starting the shiur, and even better than that would be ordering your own personal copy of Maseches Bava Basra from the pre-marked Gemara Shas Ozir edition. We notice a geometric form at the second line, the bow tie form. This is a form that had been described on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. The geometric forms in our marking system are designed to create a sense of series connection of different points and ideas that are related. So last in time, this particular shape was described, but for first-time users, so we'll have to just review that there are two sugyas concerning brothers that divided an estate that they inherited from their father. The common point between these two cases is that there were new discoveries that were not known at the time of the original division. This particular case is a situation where an estate was divided and a creditor of their father came along and took possession of the property that one of the brothers had inherited as his portion. You're then confronted with a situation where one brother still has what he inherited, and the other brother lost his inheritance in favor of the creditor. We begin the Gemara by seeing three shitas, three opinions of Amoraim, how we are to deal with this situation. After presenting the three shitas, the Gemara then goes and presents them again with further explanation. The opening presentation will have the three shitas simply underlined, marked 1, 2, and 3. And then when the Gemara goes over them, we will notice the same Rabbanan in triangles. The triangles are explained at the outside margin in our Nosei, Topic, Mivneh, Structure heading. And it says there, Gimel Deos Ba'achin Shecholku, three opinions regarding the case of brothers that divide an estate, Ubo Baal Choiv Shalavi, and V'gova Me'echo Mehem, and their father's creditor came along and took his payment from one of the brothers. With that having been said, we now begin the Gemara. Itmar, Achin Shecholku, Ubo Baal Choiv, V'nota Cholku Shel Echod Mehen. Brothers that divided their father's estate and their father's Baal Chov, creditor, came and took his pay from one of the two brothers. Rav Omar Botla Machloikis. The original division is no longer valid, and they redivide anew. In other words, the portion that's held by one brother is now to be redivided between the two of them. Ushmuel Omar Viter. Shmuel's opinion is he lost. The brother from whom the debt was collected, he's out of luck. V'Rav Asi Omar Noitel Revia Bekarka U'Revia B'Mois. The Girsa that the Rashbam prefers, or even more accurately, not necessarily the Girsa, but rather the understanding of this expression of Revia Bekarka U'Revia B'Mois, the Vav of U'Revia is really like O. Or Revia Bamos. As we said earlier, the Gemara now reviews the three shitas with a little further explanation. And you'll notice the names are in triangles, forming a series of these opinions. Rav Omar bot l'machlekes. Rav said that the original division is void and they re-divide anew. Kosovar, he is of the opinion, ha'achin shechalku, yorshin heim. Brothers are viewed as heirs. Brothers that divide an estate, in their division, they are still referred to as heirs. Of course they're heirs, you'll say. That's true when they initially inherit the estate as a single unit held amongst all of them. How are we to view the brothers after they divide amongst them, each one taking his assigned portion or his specific portion? So Rav says we view them as heirs. And as a result of that, or I should say, we view them as heirs in contrast with Shmuel's opinion, who view brothers in their state of division as purchasers. But before we get to Shmuel, Rav says we don't view them as if they're purchasing from one another, but rather they're viewed as heirs. As a result of that, we say that which they got, that portion that they got, is what they were supposed to get all of the time. And it is upon them, all of them, all of the brothers, it is upon them, each one equally, to pay their father's debts. Of course, we're talking about certain types of debts, but were debts that there was a shibud karkos on, where there had been a lien on property. Hence, the creditor has a lien on the property, and as they divide it amongst themselves, we say that that obligation continues onto the brothers as well. That is all a function of our viewing them as yorshin. The Rashbam expounds on this under the Gemara, Yorshim Havu. The Rashbam says, Toras Yorshim Yeshalehem, Lefroa ben Kulon Chayvas Avien. The obligation to pay amongst, between all of them, their father's debt. The Mishum Chaluka Lo Estaluk Mekarkoi Didhu Mibal Chov Davuon. Because of their dividing the estate between them, that does not remove the land from its obligation to cover their father's debt. The Srile Larav Yesh Brero. Rav is of the opinion that we look at subsequent actions as retroactive clarification. Huvra Hadovar Shezocho Kol Echad V'Chelek Haroilo. That when they make the division, we say this is the portion that you were supposed to receive at the outset. And as far as saying Yesh Breira, we say each one is not viewed as if he took anything from the other one. And therefore each one has the old obligation of paying their father's debt. And the fact that we view them as yorshim will also have ramifications to the halacha of karka, yes or not, being returned in the yovel year. There is an opinion, we mentioned Shmuel's opinion, that brothers who divide are viewed as if they're purchasing from one another. And if that be the case, then they would re-pool their inheritance in the Yovel year and re-divide. Le'rav ein machzirin. According to Rav's opinion, if use them as heirs, there is no return in the Yovel year to re-pool. V'kivan d'yorshin havu, hilkoch machzis chelko yachzir lo. And since we view them as yorshim, when the Balchov comes and collects from one of them, the other brother returns to the first brother the chelek that he deserves. Continuing in the Gemara, Ushmuel Omar Viter. Shmuel says that the brother that lost to the Balchov, he loses, he gives up. Kosavar ho'achen shecholku lekucho yishavu. Ukelokeach shelo b'achray yizdomi. Brothers that divide an estate are, when dividing, viewed as if they're purchasing their rights from one another. And as purchasers, we're viewing them as purchasers without guarantees. So that the portion that I'm holding on to after division, it's as if I purchased it from you, and I purchased it from you without any guarantees. Namely, that if I lose it, I don't come back to you and knock on your door asking for compensation. Ravasi, misafkole. Ravasi arrived at his opinion that said, notel revia, that he gets a quarter of the brother's holding, not half. He gets a quarter of the brother's holding because he is mesupok, he's in doubt, I yor shin havu, I lekuchos havu. Hilkoch, as a result of his doubt in how to categorize them, notel revia bakarka, uravia bamos, and as we said before, it means he gets his quarter in either land or in cash. The quarter simply being the average between a complete half or zero. According to Rav, he would have received half of what the brother holds. According to Shmuel, he receives zero. So the midway point between a half of what the brother has and nothing of what the brother has is a quarter of what he has. As far as the explanation of why he gets, why there is the choice, the brother who holds on to the property has a choice to give him either karka or mos, the Rashbam elaborates on that. For our purposes, though, we will go on in the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa, Hilchasa Bechol Hani Shmaitza Mekamtzin. In the sukkis that we've learned regarding the brothers that divided their estate, we saw the sukkis here on Kuf Zayin, and also there was a sukkis with a third brother coming on the scene after two brothers already divided an estate on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. How do you deal with the new situation? So, according to Rav Papa, we follow Shmuel's opinion of Mekamtzin. That was featured on Kuf Vav Amud Beis, which means we don't enter a new redivision, but rather we take from that which they're already holding and give the due share to the new situation. For example, in the case of the third brother that comes on the scene, when there were two brothers, each person received a half of the estate. When there are three brothers, so each brother is supposed to get to hold a third of the estate. How do we treat the situation? Mekamtzin says that the two brothers give each one their portion, namely one third of their holding, to the new brother, without need for total redivision. Amemar Omar, Botlo Machlokes. Amemar's approach is like that of Rav, who said that Botlo Machlokes, the division is void. The original division is void, and they redivide anew. Vilchasa, Botlo Machlokes. At this point, we approach a new sugya. On the outside margin, we have a nosei heading, a topic heading. Shlosha she'archu shuma. Three that made a property evaluation in the case of orphans' properties that need to be sold off in order to pay for their father's wife's maintenance. We call refer to that as mozon ha'isha, the widow's maintenance needs. Their properties are sold off if necessary to cover her maintenance needs, but they're sold through an evaluation being made of the property value. So we have three people that entered such an evaluation process. The Einom Maskimim Ze Im Ze Ma'arochosim, and our note says that we will see this in the text, that the three don't agree in their evaluation. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Shiyardu L'Shum. Shum is a reference to an evaluation, a property evaluation, in this case of the Yesoimim. We have three people making an evaluation. Echad Omer B'mona, U'shnayim Omer B'mosayim. If one says it's worth 100, and two say it's worth 200, or Echad Omer B'mosayim, U'shnayim Omer B'mona, Botel Yochid B'miuta, the opinion of the minority is void. In other words, we don't take him into consideration, we follow the majority opinion. Another scenario. Echad Omer B'mona, V'echad Omer B'esrim, V'echad Omer B'shloshim. Three people. We've underlined the echads, each one. The first opinion says Mona. Mona is 100 dinar, 25 sela. The second evaluator says not 25, it's worth 20 sela, which is 80 dinar. There are 4 dinar per sela. And the third opinion says it's worth 30, which is 120 dinar. How do we rule in such a case of three separate opinions? So we have three opinions in the value of the property and the evaluation. We're also going to have three opinions, three rabbinic opinions of how to paskin it. The first opinion says nidoin b'mona. The property will be sold at a 100 dinar rate. What can we say about that number with respect to the evaluators? The 100 dinar rate is a midway point between the 80 and the 120. Second opinion, Reb Lezer, Reb Sodok, Omer, Nidoin, B'tishim. We'll have to wait for the Gemara to explain how in the world we got to that number. Achirim Omrim, Oisin, Shuma, Beinehem, U'mishalshim. The method of calculation called Shuma Beineinu Mishalshim is explained in the Rashbam, 4 lines from the bottom. Oisin Shuma Beineinu Mishalshim, Klomar, Choshvin Bekamo Cholkim. What is the range of disagreement? Dehainu Arboim Dinar. Sheesh Bishloshim Yoiser. In other words, there's 40 dinar in the 40 extra dinar in the opinion that said shloshim. Shloshim really means 120 dinar. There's 40 dinar in 120 dinar greater than the low shita, the least opinion, which said esrim, which really means 80 dinar. Meaning, when you go from 80 dinar to the highest opinion, 120 dinar, there's a range, there's a discrepancy of 40. Ume oisin arboim tidon b'shlish. You take the 40 and divide it into thirds. Dahainu, the third of 40, is shlish asar dinar. 13 and a shlish dinar. 13 and a third dinar, al shmoinim. You take 13 and a third, which is the calculation made when taking one third of 40, and add that number of 13 and a third onto the 80. 80 dinar opinion. According to the Achirim, then, it would come out that the property is worth 93rd and a third. 93 and a third. The Gemara now goes over these shitas. What we have said, Baal Peh, we'll see in the Gemara. We have an encounter now with new geometric forms. So in character with our marking system, we will take a look at the marking explanation, the structural note of the outside margin, the mivneh. So we have a double underline with dots in it. These are Havlotus Gimel Deos Shebaseifa. These will accentuate the three opinions we saw in the final section of the Tanaic source. We could have mentioned that Tanaic sources in the marking system are shown in frames. As you can see, the last few lines that we read were all contained within a frame. Tanaic sources are placed in frames, and they include Mishnayos and Brisos and the restatements of those sources when necessary. And the frame helps to set it off from the rest of the Gemara text, showing a distinction between Tanaic literature and Amoraic literature. So we have another form, the house shape. Hesber shokol echod mehadeos. We'll see an explanation of each one of the opinions that we were already exposed to in the source. The Gemara continues. Man di omar nidoin bemona. The opinion had said that the property that these three opinions were disagreeing on, the three evaluators were disagreeing on, is to be sold off at 100 dinar. The 100 dinar, milsa mitziosa, it's a middle ground between the all three opinions, taking the extremes into account as being $20 on the one hand, and 30 on the other hand. Halfway between the two of them, you come up with 25. 25 sela is 100 mona. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Sadak, Omer, Nidon, Betishim. How do you get to that? Kosavar, Ho, Aro, Tishim, Shoveh. That the land is in fact worth 90. Behind the Gomar Esrim, the opinion of the evaluator opinion that said 80. Esrim is Esrim Sela, which is 80 dinar. Katoi Asora Lachore. He misjudged it. 10 below its real price. Behind the Gomar Mona, the one that said 100 dinar. Katoi Asora Lekame. He misjudged by 10, too high. With that having been said, we can understand the 90. In other words, the two opinions, the one that said 80 and the one that said 100, each one were off by 10. One 10 too high and the other one 10 too low. Hence, establishing the property value at 90. This seems to be arbitrary. You chose the two lower amounts of the three, the two lower ones, and said, take the average of the two of them. Take the midway point between the two of them. We now see a bracketed section of Gemara. The use of the brackets is to show that that which is contained within the brackets is of an internal Gemara nature. After the brackets, the Gemara will return to the third shita and present how it got to its conclusion. And you can do that immediately. You could see the Gemara says, Achirim orim oisin shuma beinenu mishalshin. That having been said, we're going to go now and learn the contents of the brackets. It might be worth noting that this structure will appear again a little bit later in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Adarabba, You could have just as well said, "Hi, Ara, Me'a v'Esrim Shavya, Me'a v'Asora Shavya," that the land in question is really worth 110 dinar. V'Hai Dekom, the Kom Armona, the one that said 100, Katoi Asora L'Acharei, he is 10 too low. V'Hai Dekom Arishloshim, the one that said 120 dinar. Shloshim is 30 sela, which is 120 dinar. Kotoi asora lekameh. He was off by 10 too high. That's the v'hai dekomar shloshim kotoi asora lekameh. Right? He's 10 too high. Why didn't you say that? Why didn't you say that the property was really worth 110? The Gemara answers, nekot mias trei kamoi biyodach. We prefer that you take the first two opinions, Demiteras monolo mafki lei, that they did not depart from the realm of 100. The idea is explained in the Rashbam, and he says that when you have doubts, we opt to say tafasta muat tafasta, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. That if you have a chance to grab something, grab at least something that you'll be able to hold on to it. Because if you grab for too much, you'll lose everything. Same thing over here. Take the lower amount, and by doing that, we can apply the klal of tafasta muat tafasta. We now continue with the third shita that we want to analyze. Achirim oimrim oisin shuma beinehen umeshalshin. The obligation upon us is to take the spread between the uppermost amount and the lowest amount. In our example, it comes out to the spread comes out to 40, and then we divide it into thirds. V'ka kosovri hai aro. Tishin utlosa v'tilsa shavya. The achirim are of the opinion that the land in question is really worth 93 and a third. Hai dekomar esrim kotoi klesar v'tilsa lachorei. The one that said 80 is 13 and a third too low. Because if you were to go from 93 and a third till 80, you would be going 13 and a third. 13 and a third down. V'hai deko omar mona ko toi tleisar v'tilso lekamei. The one that said 100, when taking into account we're saying this opinion holds the land is really worth 93 and a third. So when one of them said it's worth 100, he is really overpricing it by what the Gemara says was 13 and a third. Ubedinhu de lema tfei. And by rights, he should have said in his offer of valuation, he should have said 106 and two thirds. Because if you go from 93 and a third plus the margin of error of 13 and a third, you would get to 106 and two thirds. V'hai dekalo lo komar, the fact that he said 100 and didn't say 106, why is that? Savar, he feels mistoi dekomat fina kuleaya chavroi. It's enough, mistoi, it's enough that I'm adding so much anyway. So he felt that since the first guy said 80, and now I'm about to say 106, you know, let me just stop at 100. As we pointed out before, we have a bracketed section that is going to reflect the same style of Gemara that appeared in the first bracketed section. In other words, we'll raise a question and answer it. After this bracketed section, the Gemara then goes to a psak section. So the Gemara asks, Adarabo, ha aro meo utlesar utlosa shavya. Why not say that this piece of land is really worth 113 1/3? Hai dekomar mona, the opinion of valuation said it's worth 100. Katoi tlesar utlosa lachore. He said 100 when it was really worth 113 1/3. He undervalued it by 13 1/3. By the komar shloshim, the evaluator that said it's worth 120. Toi tlesar utilso lekamei. He erred by 13 1/3 above. Ubedinhu to komar tfei. He really should have said more than 120. Because if you're going to go from 113 1/3 and go above by 13 1/3, you're going to go over 120. You're going to come out to 126 2/3. So that's what the Gemara means by saying Ubedinu de Komar Tfei. He should have said more. Savar, the fact that he stopped at 120, figures Mistoi de Ka Matfina Glehai Achavroi. It's enough that I'm saying so much more than my fellow valuator. The question then is, why is it that we say, like we opened by saying, it's really worth 93 1/3? So the Gemara answers, Nekot mihas trei kamoi biodach. It's better for us to take the two first opinions, Demiteras mea lo mafki lei. They didn't break the 100 barrier. One that said 80, one that said 100, neither one of them went over the 100. The Gemara now proceeds to paskin this. Omar Avuna halocha ke'achirim. The achirim was this shita that came up with the 93 1/3. None of the valuators said that. Omar Rav Ashi taimo de achirim lo yadinon hilchusa Abdinon Kavasayu. I don't understand their shita. Namely, I don't agree with their shita. And I'm expected to follow them. Rather, I'm going to go like the Tanakama that said it's judged, the property is judged as 100, which was the middle ground between 80 and 120. Tonu Dayone Gola, Oisin Shumo Veinehen Umishalshin. The Dayone Gola would seem to pass him like the Yachirim. Omar Avuna. The Ravuna paskins like the Dayone Gola, which was the same sheet as the Yachirim. And on that, Omar Rav Ashi, just like we saw Rav Ashi react before, Taimo de Daine Goylo Liyad Inon, Ilchus Avdino Kavasayu. Mishnah. Ha'oimer l'chaviro, Chatzi Sode Ani Mocher Loch, Mishamnin Beinehen Venotel Chatzi Sodehu. We have a topic heading on the outside margin. Omer lechavero, chatzi sode ani mocher loch. That being one case. It's another case where one says to his friend, chetzio bedoro. Oisin shuma, we make a valuation. V'hamoicher noisein lo karka b'shovi hazeh. Bechol mokoim basoda sheyirtze. We make a valuation of the property and then give the purchaser a piece of land anywhere in the field that corresponds to that value. Continuing in the Mishnah, Chetzio bedorom ani mocher loch, Mishamnin beinein venotel chetzio bedorom. Vehu mekabel olav mokom hageder charitzu ben charitz. The mocher accepts upon himself that the spot on which, the area on which the fence and the protection ditches will be constructed, they will be constructed on his portion of the field. V'kamahu charitz, how much, what are the dimensions of the ditch? Shisha tvachim. Uben charitz, shlosha. The width of the ditch, of this protection ditch that runs around the field, you have the main ditch, which would be 6 tefachim wide, and the ben charitz, which would be 3 tefachim. Omer of Chiyo bar Abba, Omer of Yochanan, lokeach notel kochush shabo. The purchaser receives the poor quality of the land. In other words, there was an agreement for on the part of two parties, a seller and a buyer. The seller saying, I'm selling you chatzi sodeh. The buyer is to receive the kochush shabo. At this point, we're going to just offer a literal translation, which will allow room for the Gemara to raise the seemingly obvious question. At this point, we can simply say the superficial understanding of Rabbi Yochanan's din is that the chatzi sodeh that the buyer receives will be half of the field, the poor half of the field. Amar lei Rav Chiya bar Abba li Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba, who previously cited Rav Yochanan, now asks him. V'ho'anan mishamnin beinehem tnan. The expression mishamnin beinehem creates the feeling that they both end up with equal portions. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba with a somewhat acerbic reaction. He says, Ada achlis kafnaisa bibovel, while you were pampering yourself in Bovel, kafnaisa are dates, while you were eating dates. Or, as we said, while you were pampering yourself in Bovel, we were struggling with our learning to come out with fine interpretations. Targimno misefa. We explained the resha by looking at the sefa of the Mishnah. Dikatoni sefa. Chetzya badorom ani mocher loch. Mishamnin beinehem venoitel chetzya badorom. The Mishnah says that there was an agreement to sell half the field in the south, the southern portion of his holding. And the Mishnah said they make a shuma mishamnin b'neim, they make some type of evaluation, and he gets chetzya b'dorom. V'amai mishamnin b'neim. Why is there need to make an evaluation in this Seifa section of the Mishnah? He said, I'm selling you half the field in the south. Ella, so you have to figure that's not really what he said. Rather, Elo Lidomi. What the seller was saying in the Seifa was, I'm selling you the value of half the field in the south. What would that require us to do? It would tell us, take a look at the value of half of the field in the south, come up with a number of what its value is, and then anywhere in the field that has that value, the seller would provide to the buyer. Hachinami, so too in the Reisha, Ledomi. The seller was saying, I'm selling you land that corresponds to half the value of my field. As a result of this, we go back to Rabbi Yochanan's opening remark, who said that the lokeach notel kochu sheboy, that the buyer gets the poor quality. Practically speaking, what does that mean? So let us give an example using simple numbers. If in the reisha, the deal was, I'm selling you the value of half of my field, which the Mishnah said, Chatzi sode ani mocher loch. If the field is worth $100, half the field is worth $50. Let us say you had a field that was worth $100, that was 100 square feet. So, $50 worth of field, which is half the value, has to be provided by the seller. $50 worth of field. Does that mean he's going to get 50 square feet? Not necessarily. It could be that within the 100 square feet, there's better quality and poorer quality. When dealing with different qualities, we can say that in order to get to half the value, if you're going to use poor quality land to get to half the value, it might be that you're going to need more than half the area in order to correspond to half the value. The Rashbam explains that by rule of thumb, people prefer less area and higher quality, or less area but higher quality. So that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that the buyer will end up receiving more than half the field in area because he's receiving the kochu shebo, the poor quality. And in order to get to half the value of the field, he'll have to take more than half the area of poor quality in order to correspond to that amount, in order to correspond to half the value. Mekabelo lov mokom geder v'chulei. Tono. There is a Tanaic source, as you can see, it appears in a frame. It will explain the expressions that the Mishnah used, charitz and ben charitz. It might be noteworthy ahead of time to note that there is a conclusion to this source that appears right at the very end of the perek. And it appears in our edition with a frame around it. This observation that last line of the perek is part of this source is something that the Rashbam cites. The topic heading that you find at the outside margin, Hesber, Mahu Charitzu ben Charitz de Katoni b'Maznisin. What do these things mean? The source says, Tana, Charitz mibachutz. The ditch that's called Charitz is further away from the fence. Uben charitz libefnim. The narrower ditch is closer to the getter, to the fence. Vze vze, both of these ditches, achore geder, they are on the outside of the fence. Kidei shelotei chaya koifetzes. This ditch fence arrangement prevents creatures from jumping into the new field, into the purchased field. The Gemara asks, and we featured this in a diamond, two questions. In the outside margin, you notice the Mivneh heading, Hatzos Chilufios, alternative suggestions. Velevid Charitz, Velo Levid Ben Charitz. Why not make one wide ditch and forget the need for the narrow ditch? The Gemara answers, Aidi the Ravach, if you would have just one ditch and of a wider nature, Kaimo Begave Bekovza, the creature won't hesitate to climb down into the wide ditch and then start scampering up the other side and eventually jump from that over the fence. Question, Velevid ben Charitz, Velo Levid Charitz. Why not then have a narrow ditch, which it follows from the Gemara just before that because it's narrow, the creature wouldn't feel comfortable climbing down into it. The Gemara answers, Aidi de Kotin, since it's narrow, Kaimo Asfose Vekovsa. It'll feel comfortable enough approaching the edge of this narrow ditch and jumping over the fence. The Gemara asks, after having established that we have two ditches, one 6 tfachim wide and one 3 tfachim wide, and then a fence, what about the space between the two ditches? V'kamo bein charitz leben charitz. What is the area between the charitz and the ben charitz? So the source answers tefach. Just one tefach. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.